Okay, welcome back to another lively episode of Battleborn Duckers.
Back at it again. It's been a busy couple weeks.
Yeah, man, I'm getting depressed. We've been a long way away from duck season.
Yeah, we're project season now.
I almost ran into traffic today, man.
Why, was there a duck, Daffy?
No, I was just depressed.
Anyways, I just figured you quit riding the short bus and you know which way to go.
Well, that makes sense. We're out of duck season. We're into project season. We're full swing. We've got some cool things coming up. Next show, we're going to bring in somebody to talk about the carp rodeo, which will be awesome.
That'll be a good time. Yeah, we went from duck season to actually hunting season to duck season to banquet season to project season.
Yeah, and then it'll transition back into duck, you know.
Well, and it's duck credit season too, kitchen credit season. Yeah. So we can go duck season, duck hunt next year.
All you duck hunters, you better get to chore and make sure those wives are happy. So, anyways, we had that stellar banquet. We knocked it out of the park, and we went to the next wind meeting, and man, we got this tons of projects approved and tons of money going out, tons of stuff, you know, to make the wildlife in Southern Nevada a little better here.
Absolutely, and thanks to our sponsors, Battleborn Beer. I'll have some Battleborn Beer. They helped us out at the banquet as well. So,
I mean, man, they were the cherry on top. Those 12 packs on every table. I mean, you couldn't beat that.
Yeah, you come to our banquet, you get free beer. I mean, that's how do you go wrong? I mean, come on now,
free good beer.
Quality. Free good beer, exactly.
So, well, tonight we're live because we have a couple guests on the show. We have two stellar sportsmen and leaders in the community out here. They're from the Las Vegas Woods and Water Group, which me and Brian are members of. But we brought them on the show because they have an upcoming event, and they're just doing lots of cool things in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's one of, you know, Ron and I are lucky enough to be on the board of Las Vegas Woods and Water. So these guys are on the board, and they do a lot more work than Ron and I. So we're going to go ahead and kick it to them so they can introduce themselves.
Yeah. So we'll start off with Steve Pierce, who is the El Presidente of Woods and Water.
Well, for the last 4 months, no, I'm glad to be here. And when I moved to Las Vegas 3 years ago, had grown up in Louisiana and Texas and wanted to find some guys that like to hunt, like to shoot, like to get out in the outdoors, and found the Woods and Waters group and have really enjoyed getting to know people there and learning more about the state of Nevada.
So you're originally from down south? I could tell. What was that accent come from?
No, it's down south. was born
all of it.
Born in Fort Worth, Texas, lived in Texas for a while, but really grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, probably fifth grade all the way through college.
Really? Did you hunt any down there growing up, fish? What were your hobbies? What were your addictions down there?
Oh, and enjoyed hunting and fishing. Played football. You know, that's a religion down in the south. But played ball, but then also would hunt. We had some land and would go out there with my grandfather and my dad, and we'd shoot. And, you know, it was deer, it was rabbits, it was squirrel, a few doves, a little bit of quail. And then lived in Missouri and did a lot of fishing in Louisiana, both offshore and onshore, a lot of bass fishing and a lot of offshore speckled trout, redfish, that type thing.
Offshore, what's a shore? That's like when you go out to Lake Mead and you take the raft out, right?
Not really. When you go out into the Gulf of Mexico,
where you can actually drill for oil in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, it's saltwater versus freshwater fishing.
So squirrel hunt, man, I've never done that. How does that work?
Well, we can get Cody can help you out with that. He's got a job squirrel hunting now. So.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about gophers.
No, they're squirrels.
No, okay. So
it's a lot of fun. You go out in the wooded area. It's fun to go out before the leaves fall, so the ground's not crunching when you walk around. And walk around, you find, you know, acorn trees, big oak trees, and you look and you listen for the squirrels. And some people will shoot them with a .22 with a scope, and other people will shoot them with a shotgun. And you can make squirrel jambalaya, squirrel gumbo. You can fry them. A lot of different ways.
Really?
Most people in Southern Nevada don't have any idea what a squirrel is. I think chipmunks are squirrels, and you know, squirrels are a whole different, they're a whole different breed.
These are bushy tails.
So, yeah, and you get them up. I mean, up in Northern Nevada, you get some up in the Reno area. They'll run all over up then there. But yeah, we don't get them too much in Southern Nevada. That's
well, you've
sure.
got to have trees first. You've got to have water and then trees.
We have trees, but they're all pepper trees.
We started with the water and we ran out. We got the trees now.
but anyways. Now, also glad to have with us Brian Patterson, who's been with Woods and Waters and a former president. How long have you been in Woods and Waters, Brian?
Well, it was founded in 1991. I think I joined in 92, 93, somewhere in that ballpark. I just go back by where we were meeting at the time in the Cy Red Room at Thomas and Mack and who was president at that time. And that's kind of how I gauge the exact date on when I've been around, but at least between 25 and 27 years in the club, and the club's been around since 91. So, yeah, we're celebrating our 30-year anniversary from last year, and we're celebrating it this coming weekend, actually, or two weekends from now on April 30th.
Well, it's the largest continuously meeting sportsman's club in the state of Nevada. So
the group, yeah, we usually get between 45 to 50, 55 folks that join or show up at our monthly lunch meetings, which are held every second Thursday of the month. Currently, we're meeting at the Las Vegas National Golf Course at the clubhouse, and we have lunches that start at 11:45. We have a speaker generally, and we talk about all the things that are upcoming for the month and some of the events that we had in the past month. We always try to have at least one hunting or fishing or shooting event every month. So it's a good group of guys. We've got a membership that probably hovering around 150 individuals at this point.
It's like $1,000 to join, right?
Yeah.
Expensive. Oh, it's big time expensive.
Super exclusive. That's why Ron and I are there.
$25 a year, annual membership, you and your family. And the beauty of that $25, it gets you into, we have two events. We have a fall feast and a spring feast. Mm-hmm. And our spring feast is coming up this weekend, actually. Where we have a free feed for all the members, all their family, all their friends, their neighbors. Anybody can show up. It's free food. The spring feast that we're doing this weekend is I don't know when it started. It's probably been going on for at least 20 years now, where we have a crawdad, crawfish, mud bug boil. So we've got some guys with some southern roots, Louisiana boys, and they come in and they cook up a bunch of mud bugs and all that. We have a shooting event first, and then at lunch everybody gathers and we have a free feast.
The rumor is that's why Steve joined, is he just followed his nose. Yeah, he's like, hey, who's cooking crawdads down here? Mud bugs.
You know, and that's the thing, is that the $25, man, you get more than $25 in knowledge and just sitting in one meeting. I mean, the knowledge that sits in that room, and from a sportsman's conservation group standpoint, we have all the players in there. We tend to have all the players in the room. So whether it's Desert Bighorn Fraternity or Wynn, or so this week we had Quail Forever was there. Mm-hmm. And so you get all those groups, you can kind of collaborate and kind of come up with game plans, you know, outside of your own group that everybody can kind of work together. So it makes it really nice for the sportsmen, because that's where we're getting a lot of the business done. We're having those conversations on maybe what new legislation might be coming up that we need to look at, or what's coming out of Endow. And I know Brian serves on the cab for Clark County for the wildlife group. So, you know, we can have those discussions and what the emerging issues are. And so for that $25, you get more than that. And my favorite event actually is another one that you eat for free, because I'm a fat kid. I like food. But it's the steak dinner that we do at the Panguitch Fishing Tournament. Oh, so, and yeah, that's another great event.
Right. We have a lot of – we try to do one or two events every month. But like Steve, who's been with the group just a couple, 3 years – I joined way back when, because I was relatively new to the valley and I didn't know where to hunt and didn't know where to fish, and got introduced to a few guys and started showing up to the meetings, didn't know anybody, but they welcomed me in. And the goal at that time was, hey, where can I go shoot some quail, or where can I go chase deer? Where's the best opportunity? And so it was a resource, and all these guys just opened their arms and their hearts and said, hey, we're going to go on a quail hunt next weekend. Jump in, let's go, and we'll show you where we like to go. And one thing led to another, and you just start connecting with some guys that are like-minded and do the things that you like to do, and get to learn, especially for somebody new to the valley, get to learn some of the local customs and the local haunts and where to hang out.
Yeah, not only that, but your your meetings, the speakers you bring on are phenomenal. Like, today we had a young man from the kayak fishing.
He's a kayak fishing tournament. I can't remember what the name of their group was, but yeah, about bass fishing on kayaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he did a detailed PowerPoint on how to fish off kayaks, like with trolling motor. Like, it was intense, and we're like, well, how much did your kayak run? He's like,
$10,000.
And I was like,
well, I got $400.
I got a boat with a cushy seat on it for that price, man.
Well, and
but
you know,
yeah, no, but like this, the knowledge that is brought there, the knowledge where, you know, you might be able to watch YouTube videos and you might be able to do other things, but the knowledge in Woods and Water is you actually get a person there and you can ask questions and network with those people.
Well, the first time I went to a Woods and Waters meeting was because I'm friends with Ron. If you're friends with Ron too long, you end up doing a lot of crap that you wouldn't normally want to do because you don't have a choice. And Ron calls me and says, hey, I got to give this presentation, but I'm going to be in Arizona for like 2 weeks, so I need you to give this presentation
for me. Got called down there for an emergency.
Yeah, emergency you'd planned. So I ended up going to Woods and Water and doing a presentation on duck banding. And that's kind of how I fell in with the group. And then kind of after that, it was like, hey, I want to join and I want to be part of it. And it's a group that you get a lot of hunters around. A lot of times they're not real helpful. You know, you get in there and I'm not sharing anything with anybody.
Well, like you say today, what'd you catch the fish on? A lure?
A lure, yeah.
Where'd you catch it at? The water.
Exactly. That's generally what you get. But with this Woods and Waters group, I mean, people, if you're struggling with something, there's guys there that are willing to help you out and get you where you need to be, or say, hey, I've got a, how many times in a year do we have, hey, I've got this goose hunt planned and here's the price on it. It's a great goose hunt. I've been on it 4 or 5 times, or I've got this hunt, or we're going to go up quail hunting. And there's an event every month, at least we do at least a shooting event every month. Then there's fishing events and we'll do a quail hunt. The guys will go out on a quail hunt. And then on top of that, you got guys going to Alaska to go fishing. And so you could go to Alaska if you don't know anybody. You could go to Alaska and there's 3 guys that are going to go with you. So you already know guys before you go. That makes it really nice.
Well, that's the scary part. If you're going on those foreign hunts, you know, you're going to Alaska, you're going back to Idaho. I mean, what guide do I use? Is he going to be a good guide? Am I going to be successful? Is it going to be enjoyable? Am I signing up with a company I'm going to like or not? But like, if you go to Woods and Water, this guy's already gone to Alaska 15 times. He's like, why don't you just jump in with me? I have Bobby Joe that I hunt with, and let's go. Let's go do this. So that's what I think is the value to Woods and Water.
And it is. It's a lot of guys with a ton of experience. There's a lot of guys in that club that have been hunting longer than I've been alive. And
exactly. You know, exactly.
I think our average age, somebody was saying the other day, is what, like 72 to 75 years old?
It could be.
Older every year.
Well, and that's one of the things that Ron and I talked about when we were first in the club is you got to bring some new blood or the club dies, right? So you got to bring a little bit younger guys in. And I'm out of spring chicken. I'm 47. Ron's a little bit younger than me. But, you know, you get those guys in, and as long as you got guys come in that fit the group, it works really, really well because those older guys, I'll tell you, Al's probably my favorite person in the entire club. I love Al to death. He's the oldest guy we have, I think, right? And so
he'll still outfish you.
Yeah.
He will outfish me. But that guy is a wealth of knowledge, and he's willing to share it. And so those guys are going to share it with the new guys. And then in turn, when the new guys, the younger guys come up and they get to that point, then they're going to be sharing with the guys behind them. And so we just create this big mentor role, right? And everybody's kind of mentoring everybody, and we all have our knowledge bases. You got guys that are big game. Jalindo came and did a presentation and he's like, yeah, I had this tag and I passed up on that buck was no good. I passed up on that buck and that buck was no good. And everybody else in the room's going, I would have shot every single one of those without even blinking an eye. You know, but you have that where guys have that experience of going out and doing different things, and we can kind of have discussions. Ron and I have, you know, we've taken a couple people out and we've offered other people, hey, whenever you want to come in and go, because some people have never gone duck hunting before. And so for us, we get the opportunity to give to them some of that same knowledge that they gave to us. I know Ron shared some fishing trips with Steve there on an ice fishing trip. And
correct.
It's just, that's kind of what's expected of you when you're really in the club, is it's, you are part of that group and you should be sharing with the knowledge. And even if it's just poker night and just, I mean, those poker nights get pretty ugly. I mean,
yeah, do not come to the club if you take offense easily, because everybody, you'll be called a liar all day long and people will make fun of you. And that's just the beauty of the club, is like, if you have soft skin, please do not come to Water. You will not last.
I remember the first, we were at Penguin, or it was at Cummins, we were doing ice fishing, and that was the first time I played poker with you guys, and I sat next to Transu. And Transu he started losing every hand, and he gets up and he's huffing and puffing, and he's like, you sat down and I lost. And then I'm sitting next to Alan. Alan's showing me his cards. He's, what do I do with these? Then Transu.
I got to point out, though, we only play for $20 a
exactly.
man. Exactly. So it's not like you're going to get mad and get your feelings
but
hurt.
But that's a good part. Is
you only can lose $20 and then we're done.
$20 and everybody has a good time. Everybody messes with each other. And then Transu, I like Transu.
Transu wasn't even mad. He was
he's just being Transu, you know?
Yep.
And I didn't know Transu from a hole in the ground. So I'm just like, man, I think I made that guy mad. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, no, never mind.
So. No, it's everything's fun. Everything's pretty loose, and everything's affordable. That's another thing that we always try to keep. You know, when you're young, starting out, and you got a family of three kids, and you want to bring them out to shoot some 22s at a 22 event, and if it's $40-$50 a person to shoot, it's cost prohibitive for a young family to pay $30-$40 for, you know, each kid. So all of our events are $20 to $25 generally. We have one or two that are a little bit more expensive depending on the range fees that we have, but they're all affordable. $20 entry usually. Kids under 18 shoot free at all of our events, no matter what the cost is. We pick up the tab for youth, and it's just a good time, and it's affordable. We have a thing we call Lewis class that we put out. So if we have a shooting event, and then so the great shooters in the club don't always win money because, you know, the first, second, and third guy all the time is winning all the money. The Lewis class breaks it up, and it makes it even and fair that everybody gets a shot at winning some prize money. And like our last shooting event, we had 31 folks come out, and I think we ended up paying 13 guys. So just about half of those or a third of those that showed up got money. And it's fair, and it doesn't matter whether you're a third from the bottom or a third from the top, you still have a chance to win some money and get your money back.
You know, one of the interesting things you said, talking about the families and bringing kids out or something like that, the relationships in Woods and Waters. Somebody was coming out the other day and said, I'd love to come to that 22 pistol shoot, but I don't own a 22 pistol. That was me. And I said, you know, I've got rifles, I've got other pistols, but I don't have a 22 pistol. Everybody says, no problem. You can borrow mine or you can borrow my pistol. And it doesn't happen that way every day. Like you were talking to the guy today who was talking, AJ, when he said, oh, yeah, well, I caught the fish on a lure. Yeah. No, you're not being a team player in that situation. But if a guy's willing to loan you his gun, you know, you bring your own ammunition. But here's a nice rifle or a nice pistol to shoot. Just bring the ammunition. And we don't want either that cost of money or, hey, I don't have that caliber gun to be a thing that's going to prevent you from coming out or bringing one of your kids out to shoot. And we've got a Boy Scout troop that we sponsor, Troop 130. And a lot of times we'll have kids come out and shoot. That we'll have the scouts there. I know on the ice fishing, the scouts cook breakfast for everybody.
That they do.
It's just a fun chance to get together, and it's almost kind of that legacy. You were talking about the older guys that have been there. They get a kick out of seeing the young guys come on that know nothing at all about hunting or fishing or shooting, you know, here in the valley. And they teach them something. Just as each of us had either a grandfather, a father, an uncle, somebody got us started into outdoors, whether it was shooting, fishing, whatever it might have been. And it's a chance to pass that on and create a little better legacy for yourself and for the people in the club.
Well, not everybody has that opportunity, and that's one of the reasons we started the Win You Sportsman's Program, is to give those kids that wouldn't have an opportunity that opportunity. And one of the things that I've noticed about the club that I enjoy about this club is I've done a lot of shooting, and I've done a lot of competition shooting. I used to shoot vintage competitions, and you get there, and they are they're there for one reason. They're there to win, and you know there's very little help going out. You get to these events and it's like, yeah, we're all there. We all are competitive and we're going to talk smack till we're blue in the face. But if somebody needs something, everybody in the club's willing to help them out and everybody's approachable. And I'll tell you, we have a guy was shooting sporting clays at the feast last year, and his gun was worth more than my car. And he's like a 4-time state champion, like 4 times in a row and this and that. And you have everything from that to guys that can barely bust a clay, and everybody
you have the Mossberg pumps.
Yeah, and my kid was shooting an 870 pump, right? And so you have all that in one event, and everybody's on equal playing field. So it's not the guys that are the great shooters that are giving right. The guys that aren't such great shooters a hard time. They're going to give them a hard time, But that's just because, and you're not doing it. We do it amongst members. We don't go after our non-members because we don't know them. But I know that I can bust Brian's balls because I know Brian. We're gonna. That's that relationship there, and so it's a very approachable event. And the other great thing is, it doesn't matter what you shoot. We're gonna probably have an event that is gonna fit. So everything from 22 pistols to air pistols to archery. Do we even do a 3-gun shoot with fully automatic, you know,
machine gun and black powder?
And so we get to do everything. So you may not be a really good shooter, handgun shooter, but man, you may be killer on black powder or archery. And so you're going to have that opportunity to kind of shine where everybody else struggles. And so you get that chance that you don't get with a lot of other clubs. I mean, you go to, you know, the U.S. pistol matches, and that's all they're doing. They're shooting pistols. You go to 3-gun. That's all they're going to do is shoot 3-gun.
And it's hard to break into that if you haven't grown up in it. And at least with Woods and Waters, you get the opportunity. You get some exposure. You may not become great in it. But I know a couple of years ago, before COVID, I was shooting at something. I was having trouble. It just wasn't working. And Mike Reese said, I said, how do you keep the barrel from doing figure eights while you're sitting there aiming at the target? And he says, well, hey, dummy, here's how it works. You line up above the target and you let gravity pull it down onto the target and you squeeze the trigger when you get there. And I said, whoa, immediately almost doubled my score. And, you know, one of the things mm-hmm. that Mike has offered anybody that wants to come out and shoot sporting clays, he said, I'm happy to give you lessons. And he actually was one of the coaches on the U.S. Olympic team a number of years ago. And he has shot professionally for money. And it's just, how do you go find that kind of coaching or that kind of camaraderie or friendship?
Well, that kind of talent.
That talent, yeah. Yes.
Well, we've got a lot of them. We've got Nevada Firearms Coalition. Their group is in our group. So they got guys in there. We've got Mike Reese was a professional shooter, you know, and
he's with
got,
the Wildlife Coalition.
You've got, mm-hmm. What's his name that runs the air conditioned place, the skeet shooter guy. So
is
he's
Neil Dilley?
No.
no, he shoots on the Woods and Water yeah, Trap team.
I can't. Okay. but he's a 4-time or 4 or 5-time in a row state champion. I mean,
Clayton Phillips.
Clayton, there we go. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so you got guys like that. You got guys that are professional fishermen out there that are running professional
bass
fishing,
tournaments.
Running bass tournaments. You've got all that. And the cool thing about Woods and Waters is the way the system's set up is we have what they call honcho. So every event's got a honcho, and sometimes you're going to have a Mike Reese that, you know, was a professional shooter, professional coach, honchoing in a shooting event. Or Brian does a lot of our fishing events. He does a ton of our fishing events. And the guy from the Nevada Firearms Coalition does a lot of our shooting events. He does several of those a year. So you got guys with a lot of Jeff experience Brian. Doing in charge of things. So they know how to manage them and run them and, you know, kind of set shooters up for success. And that's a big thing. Nobody wants to go out and go 0-for-50, right? But if you got somebody in your group that's going to help.
Yeah, and a lot of it's just letting somebody get exposure to a different discipline. You know, and I run the black powder shoot for the last 15 or so years. I don't know anything about black powder 15 years ago, but I wanted to shoot it. So, let's put that on the calendar and let's have that as one of our events as well. And so it's an opportunity. Not everyone owns a black powder rifle. But again, we share. Come on out. If you want to shoot it, we'll teach you how to do it. We'll take our time. We'll be safe. Have all the safety precautions there. And you get exposed to another avenue. So maybe you'll never pick it up again. But at least once a year, you can come out, borrow somebody's gun, and shoot something and have a little fun and smell the black powder as it comes out the barrel. And it's, again, it's just another fun event, a chance to do something different.
Well, nobody cares.
It's almost like a sportsman's buffet, you know? Like, you can sample everything. You might like the raw oysters, but you only have to eat them once. If you don't like them, you can leave them there.
Yeah.
But you didn't just go commit yourself to having raw oysters for the rest of your life. Like, sometimes if you want to get into black powder, you have to buy the gun, you have to buy the sabots, you have to buy the powder, you have to buy,
exactly,
you know, and then you go watch YouTube videos, and you're like, well, I hope this thing doesn't blow up in my face when I'm shooting
exactly.
it. But the best thing about Woods and Waters, you have so many experts in so many fields that you can go sample everything and then pick what you want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I thought was beautiful that you said earlier is it's like the barrier into entry into the sportsman or into hunting or into firearms, the barrier to entry is high cost, right? And that's a huge barrier to entry, especially in low economic situations. The the beautiful thing about woods and water is you can pay as little as you want, or you can pay as much as you want. You know, you hit the whole spectrum. Mm-hmm. So if you're a guy and you're like, well, I can't afford the gas to go all the way up to Cummins, you know, to fish ice fishing. Well, no, that's fine. Well, one, you can either jump in with another member, or two, like, we're going to have this air rifle shoot, and pellets are 25 cents, you right. know? And so the barrier to entry, like, and the air rifles he has, they're not the cheapest air rifles, you know? And so, like, the barrier to entry into the sports world, like, everybody thinks, well, that's an obstacle, and, you know, hunting and shooting guns is only for the rich. Well, that bridges that mm-hmm. in this group, and you guys have been doing it for 30 years, bridging that gap and bringing... I mean, how many countless hunters do you think you've brought into this program, Brian?
Oh, I don't know, but it's – you can't put a number on it, I don't think. But it's just nice to know that there's that opportunity for somebody to get involved and to get access to something new. And kind of to that end, the last – well, for quite a while, we've – as a members, we've kind of had the marksman of the year and the angler of the year and kind of then the all-around who, you know – we keep score and keep track of who does the best at some of these shooting and fishing events. But new this year, we included a women's category and a youth category. So they too can win angler of the year, marksman of the year in their respective division. And we've got one young man, you know, Wyatt Palmer has not missed an event so far this year. He's hit the three or four shooting events we've had. He's been to all three fishing events we've had so far. He's in it to win it, and he's excited, and it's great to see. It's nice to see that his father is willing to get him out and bring him to all those events, and then he's excited to be at those events. It's been nice to watch that. I mean, we haven't gotten a big participation in that yet, but Wyatt for sure is on board, and he's there to make sure he wins that belt buckle or that big prize at the end of the year.
I hear that, everybody that's listening, why it's uncontested. Well, you need some contesting.
It's funny, too, because you think you get out to these events and, you know, if you're not very good, then, you know, you're going to shoot one time and you're not going to be back. And I'll tell you that I had shot sporting clays for the last time or for the first time last year at the spring feast. And, you know, that's not my discipline. It's just not. I think I went 15 for 100 or something like that. My kid outshot me by like 20, you know. But I have Mark Transu. Like,
my gun kept on not going off. Well, Mark blamed it on to me later in the day. Well, I couldn't hit him because my gun was new and I had to break it in and other excuses.
Mark Transu had asked me at, you know, Woods and Waters meeting, hey, would you shoot with me? Would you and your boy shoot with me? And I'm like, well, yeah, sure, why not? You know, I'll go do it. I'm gonna suck, right? And so you shoot so bad, and you're like, well, I'm probably not gonna shoot that next year because that wasn't very good. And Transu calls me about a month ago and says, hey, are you and your boy gonna shoot with me again this year? And so I think really the only reason is because Transu wants somebody to shoot worse than he does. And so this year I brought Ron. He's gonna shoot worse than me, so we can kind of keep that going. But yeah. You can be not the greatest shooter, and people still want you to be involved, and they'll still invite you to come along. You know, well,
and like I said earlier, you have an opportunity. You might win money even if you are clear mm-hmm. towards the bottom of the pack. It's a beauty of that system.
Well, and it's a social event. I mean, come on, you've got the competition going, and you know who the top two, three shooters are, three, four shooters, the top fishermen, whatever it may be. That's fine. They're going to go do their thing. The 80% of the rest of the crowd, you know, we're hustling for one point here, one pigeon there, we're doing this. And guess what? Okay, your barrel didn't fire, the gun didn't fire. So now, you know, your excuse that you've been using, you're telling the truth for once.
Exactly.
You know, and I caught a fish so big, the picture weighed 12 pounds. It had to have been a big fish. But, you know, and the interesting thing, and what I found interesting about Woods and Waters, and I guess Ken Johnson and group, when they started this thing 30 years ago, and he had been in Austin, Texas, and they had a Woods and Waters Club. And I said, okay, that makes sense. In Austin, they do have some trees. They do have water. The name
applies. They have woods and water.
Yeah. Hey, let's call it. I said, you know, Ken, you did a great job of restarting the organization and bringing it out here, but why didn't you name it, you know, the Southern Nevada Sportsman's Club
Cactus
or something like that?
Cactus and Dirt Club.
Cactus and Dirt. But all right, Steve, remember what I was supposed to be saying.
Him bringing it out here 30 years ago, renaming it something different. Well, I think it's interesting that it started in Texas and he grabbed it.
Yeah,
well,
he grabbed it and brought it out here.
There's an Austin and a Dallas chapter, and then Las Vegas is the third chapter in this group. The two chapters in Texas are really big. I mean, and they've got an endowment of millions of dollars, and they really do a lot of stuff for youth. But the Vegas crew for a long time was just a bunch of good old boys having a good time.
We like to hunt, talk,
hunt, yeah, fish, drink, and tell stories about it.
Now, that's where I was going. I was going to the motto of the club because I thought that was odd. You know, like to shoot, like to fish, and love to tell stories about it. And yeah, a beer or two in between, or maybe some peanut butter whiskey comes in there.
Yeah.
Ron drinks a lot of the peanut butter whiskey. He drinks all of it so nobody else can get any.
Yeah, well,
so
he was offered some.
Even if you don't drink, like, it's fine. You just got to bring a designated drinker. And so that Steve, that I love Steve Pierce. He's the best guy in the club, I think. But he comes up and we're ice fishing. He brings up this brown substance at the bottom of a cup. And
this brown substance.
And Brian has also tricked me a lot. And so he's like, hey, would you like a drink of this? And I said, oh, I don't know. And so I passed it to Preston, and Steve goes, well, that's my – what is it peanut butter whiskey you
it's
make? Or?
No. It's Screwball is the name of it, and is made over in California. Mm-hmm. And it's a peanut butter-flavored whiskey, yeah. Very smooth tasting. I didn't realize you didn't drink.
No, that's
I was just offering you something to drink because I was enjoying it. But no, you might want to have
something. I probably enjoyed it, too. But, so
you probably would really enjoy it.
I went home and told my wife this story, so now she's called Steve Peanut Butter Whiskey. I don't think she even knows his name, which isn't a bad name to have.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because you look at our banquet, when we did our banquet, you talk about guys and being worried because somebody doesn't drink and I offered them alcohol. I will tell you for a fact that I know somebody doesn't drink that bought a $900 bottle of vodka, and I know somebody else that was in at $2,200 on another bottle of alcohol that doesn't drink and has never drank. So it's just, you know, sometimes it's just part of the gig, and you know, you're around sportsmen, and that's, I think Ron realizes too, that's part of it. There's gonna be guys out there drinking and having a beer or two.
Glad they accept me and I accept them. You know, it's a very accepting club as far as it goes. It doesn't matter who you are, mm-hmm, what color you are, what you believe in, as long as you're a decent person and you know, you could lie good enough, you'll be fine. All
right. That's a key requisite, I think, to get in the club. I think you had to tell like four lies when you signed your paperwork or something like that.
You've just got to embellish the story. And I think one thing that we want to bring up, and we've talked about drinking a few times, and we enjoy that, done properly and safely. Anytime we talk about firearms in this group, whether we've been at Clark County Shooting Range or anything else, rules, safety, teaching the younger, teaching the less experienced, sometimes teaching the older guys, mm-hmm, reminding them of the safety, that's job number one. After you get through shooting, after you get through with the day, after you know you're not going to be driving, then you can have your beer, have your peanut butter whiskey or whatever it is that you're going to do. But, you know, and I think as good sportsmen and good parents and everything else, you can't reiterate that enough. Alcohol and firearms do not go together.
No, and that's my pet peeve is you got guys out hunting and they're all plastered. And I will not hunt with somebody that's drinking.
And we've done a great job. As many events as we hold every year, and we've not had an accident, knock on wood.
30 years
and all these events. And there were the early years, we used to go down to Parker, Arizona, was kind of one of our hangouts for doves, for gigging frogs, we had a blast down in Parker, and there were some real knockdown drag out nights back down there in terms of, you know, guys, we'd rent out the whole hotel and guys, you know, diving into the shallow end of the pool and coming up with bloody noses and a few things. But it was always after the day was over, you know, in the field. And so, but we always had a good time down on the river in Parker, and one of our past members that used to honcho all those events is no longer with us. But, Dan Perry that was the events to show up at was a Dan Perry event down in Parker, Arizona, because we really lit it up down there.
Well, it's funny because people think that firearms and shooting and stuff like that is notoriously a dangerous sport, right? So it can be a very dangerous sport, and it's not that it's necessarily any more dangerous than the other sport, but the consequences can be so much more grave, right? But the statistics tell you that shooting sports are actually statistically the safest sport in the United States. There are fewer accidents with shooting sports than any other sport in the United States. I mean, you talk about the numbers are so low.
Talk about football versus shooting.
Well, not even that. Right. Soccer is actually the number one sport for injuries in the United States.
Oh, they're all faking.
So yeah,
the videos.
They just roll around on the ground, you know. And so you think about it, and why is that? It's because as sportsmen, we become very, very safety conscious, right? And so we're very big on gun safety. And, you know, if you're doing it right, you know, we're not drinking when we're out shooting and saying, hey, watch this, hold my beer, you know. And so I won't, you know, and I've had family that's been like that, and that's how they hunted. And I'm like, I don't need any part of that. And we have enough issues without having that added to it. And so all we need as sportsmen is the antis to get a hold of that and a bunch of yahoos in the back of their pickup truck, a fifth of whiskey into it, just shooting everything that moves. And that's going to really put a damper on what we're going to be able to do in the future. Yeah. So it's huge for us, you know, and we talk about it, and we enjoy it. We enjoy having a good time, but there's a time to have a good time and there's a time to do business. And it's even when in my work life and everybody else's work life, there's time to enjoy yourself and there's time to do business.
We got a couple of Woods and Water members that have joined us up here. We got Nick Goley saying that, he thinks Brian and Steve are good guys.
Yeah, I know I am. But.
See, he's a liar. He's one of those liars.
He's one of those liars.
Exactly.
Mike Priest actually said he'd never shot a black powder gun until he joined Woods and Water, which I thought he did everything, you know? So that's kind of interesting. And then Mike Reese says that you guys have coyote calling contests and can't shoot anything. So,
well yeah, there's not any coyotes.
Well, we've seen them. But, we've had, I don't know, 10, 12 years running having a club coyote hunting contest, and we've yet to bag a coyote. So if anybody ever bags a coyote at one of our events, they will be crowned king for
for the next 20 years.
I think there should be a belt buckle for that one. If you get a coyote, you get a belt buckle automatically, right?
Something, because we've had quite a few trips and no fur has been hit the dirt yet. So
it's because you're a transient. You can't shoot them out of a truck. So. So talk about the different events you guys do. So you do a whole spectrum. Let's talk about, I know we talked about the shooting ones. What are some other outdoor ones you do?
Like we do a coyote calling contest. We do, we have a Yuma, Arizona dove hunt that one of the guys puts on every year. We go all the way down to Yuma, Arizona. We do some quail hunts. We do ice fishing in January for a fishing event. Then I honcho a spring ice off fishing at Sunnyside, and then another ice off we just held a couple weeks ago at Cummings Lake.
Tell about that ice off at Cummings. That's very interesting what the fish do there.
Right. I mean, so we just got back from that April 9th, so just last weekend. Early April, when the ice comes off, the fish just cruise the shoreline in kind of spawn mode. And so an old timer, I was up there ice fishing one year, and an old timer told me, oh, you need to come back first or second week of April. So literally that next April, I was there the first week of April, and it's amazing to just see schools of fish. I mean, 5 feet off the shoreline. I mean, in 2 feet of water or less, and they're just, you know, five fish will go by, eight fish will go by, two will go by, cruising the shoreline all day long.
These aren't small fish either.
Not small fish. All the fish in Cummings are decent, you know, 16 to 20 inch, occasionally one bigger than 20 inches.
And they're pretty active, and they're eating
they're
and everything.
They're pretty active and eating. And last year we had a tough time catching them. They were there zipping up and down the shoreline. This year we did pretty well. It got windy in the afternoon. But, I mean, just to see that many fish, even if they're not biting whatever you're offering, it's fun and be able to know that they're right there. How come I can't get one? But we ended
up. Be honest with me, Brian. Is it always windy on ice offs? I haven't been on an ice off fishing trip that hasn't blown me around the lake.
Well, in this state, yeah. Like when we went to Sunnyside here a couple, 3 or 4 weeks ago, forecast was for 20, 30 mile an hour winds. And I was honcho and I didn't think anybody would show. I didn't want to show, but as honcho, I had to be there. We got there and it was dead calm. We didn't have a breath of wind for till noon.
That's because Ron and I didn't come. If we would have come, it would have been blowing 80.
It was beautiful day. And everybody caught fish. Again, we always seem to catch fish. There was one event that we've been doing for quite a few years is Otter Creek Reservoir up in Utah. Again, an ice-off deal is what got us up there.
first event I ever went to, and I thought, okay, this new group, we had 21 fishermen up there, and go ahead and tell how well we did.
And we ran out the whole lodge. There's the Rocking R Bed and Breakfast Lodge.
You're on pontoon boats.
Pontoon boat shore. I've always fished just from shore because, again, right at ice off, those fish are in that shallower water, cruising the shoreline. And then I think we had 30 fishermen. We had quite 21 or 30, whatever the lie is.
It was 112.
Well, you had a lot of first place.
We had a lot of fishermen, and not one fish was caught the entire day from our group. I mean, we saw a few people, not very many were catching fish that day, but not one fish was landed.
See, and now a smart guy that was running for Angler of the Year would have went and bought a fish from one of the other guys and been like, I'm the only one, I get all the points.
How do you divide the pot at that point?
Zero. Well, everybody gets zero.
Everybody gets their money back?
Everybody gets 1 point for showing up.
Yep. Exactly.
But
exactly.
When you were talking about events, you know, a couple of, you know, we do the archery event kind of starting off early in the year. Last couple of years have done the pellet gun and BB gun, which you've got a bunch of guys that are used to, you know, shooting 12 gauge and shooting high powered rifles, 22s as well. Out there shooting pellet guns, and you've never seen guys have so much fun. It's just the competition and the harassment between the guys. You know, you can't even shoot a Daisy BB gun. How in the world do you think you're going to do something else? The three gun, where I know that they've done the machine gun over the last several years. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, they'll put balloons up on targets, and you're shooting those at 50 yards or maybe 100 yards, and then you've got the steel targets that you're shooting at. So wide variety of things.
And the steel targets are some of the most fun. We've got access to a bunch of silhouette targets, you know, chickens, rams, turkeys, and javelina. Mm-hmm. And they're all different sizes, and we put them out at different distances. But that reactive target, to see it fall over, is so much more fun than just punching holes in paper and trying to hit a bullseye. Seeing a metal target, and you've got to knock it over to count. You can hit it, and it spins sideways.
Uh-huh.
Nice shot, but you didn't kill it. It didn't fall over, so you don't get the point. I mean, and a lot of people get angst up, and I know I hit it, but you're
still
right.
It's still standing up.
It's just looking at you now instead of being profile.
Probably the craziest event. It was at a park last year, and they were calling it
the Nemesis.
Yeah, it was the
Lake Fescue.
Lake Fescue. So, being new to the state of Nevada, I picked out, you know, got my cell phone out, and I said, "Okay, Lake Fescue." And I said, "I don't see a Lake Fescue." And so I called Ralph. He was the one that was the honcho of the event. I called him that morning. I said, "Where is Lake Fescue?" And he says, "Oh no," he said, "we're doing our practicing with our fly rods out here at a local park, and because the grass out there, we're just calling it fescue grass, so we're calling it Lake Fescue." So we go out there, and the wind was blowing pretty heavy, and so we're casting at different things. And one of the crazy pieces, we were trying to the longest cast possible. Well, as hard as the wind was blowing, I'm stripping off line, and, you know, almost pulled off 50 yards of line, and you get it up in the air, and the wind behind your back, you could cast a long distance. But yeah, Lake Fescue and the new kid in town, don't look in that for, you know, off-road and your Google Maps or anything else, because guess what? It's not there.
Well, we were trying to keep you out of the event, but I guess it didn't work.
You got real close. You got real close to keeping me out.
We do a lot. There's a lot of events that goes through Woods and Water, and we spend a lot of time shooting and fishing and
telling stories about
banquets and, you know, having luncheons and having speakers and stuff like that. But there's another component that a lot of people don't see, and that's the give back component. And so I know you guys have a scout troop, but we also donate money to a bunch of other groups as well to make things happen. So I know you guys give win money pretty much just about any time we ask. I know you're instrumental in getting the corn and stuff that we needed for duck banding projects. And so you guys provided half of the corn. I know the North Las Vegas 4-H group, that their kids get money, their shooting team gets
What's that
money
group
every
called?
Year.
Silver
State Wranglers.
And then there's the Silver State Claybreakers, and there's Johnson Academy Middle School. There's quite a few elementary schools and middle schools. The National Archery in the Schools program that's run by Endow. But all these schools have programs now separate from their, you know, PE classes where they shoot bows and arrows, and these kids are really learning a lot. And so all these teachers are needing funds, and there's a couple schools that have been really proficient at it and really getting some kids that are not only winning at the state level, but they're also getting accepted to go to the nationals. And I know as a parent that had a kid that was in sports, that we traveled all over the country, I know how expensive it is.
Yeah.
And so we got with some of these schools and said, hey, I realize that some of these kids don't have money to go back to Kentucky to shoot at the national event, but by gosh, they're one of the best kids. They're obviously the best kid in the state, and they're one of the best kids in the country. We want to find out if they are, how they rank with it on the national level. So we spend some money and we donate money to those kids so they can travel and go to the national event. I think this year it was in Salt Lake. But so it moves around in terms of the national shoot, but there's four or five different schools that we help promote their NAS program, which is, you know, National Archery and Schools program, which is a great program that we like to do. And we've talked about doing a trout in the classroom. I think every third year, third grade class in the state of Nevada, they get some little trout eggs and raise them from little eggs into a little fry, and then they'll go out and release them at, you know, into Floyd Lamb or at Sunset. Mm-hmm. So we'll donate to those programs as well. Just anything that's youth related and outdoors, hunting and fishing and outdoor recreation type events. All they have to do is contact the club, send in a request, and we have a budget that we set every year depending on how much money we make at our annual banquet, and then we dole out funds based on just request. And it's just something nice that we give back, and that's why we call it our Give Back Committee, is we give back to the youth in Southern Nevada, and that's one way we do it.
Yeah, one of my favorite things, and I know my kids love it, is that Ducks and Donuts you guys get back to. Like, mm-hmm. And I was able to provide prizes and, you know, motivate them to get up at 3 a.m.
That's just started.
Motivate me to get up at 3 a.m.
Yeah, they just started that 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And so that's been a good program too, that, yeah.
But these little programs, like, because of, you know, certain industry standards and not giving back so much to the community as far as sportsmen, it's almost imperative that your group does it and makes the money to help fund these programs, or else these kids wouldn't be able to go. And heck yeah, man, I'd like to see a Nevada kid go up or against the rest of the nation. If, you know, he can't afford it and Woods and Water puts him into that position, holy smokes, man, that's a big thing for him and for Nevada and for sportsmen in general.
Right. Well, just in general, I know I was on doing the 4-H. I was actually on the state 4-H shooting committee, but I also coached. And for my kids to shoot, and I think we had a dozen kids. But for those kids to shoot for the year, and we were doing shotgun, rifle, and archery, it was $8,000 a year for those kids to shoot. And my goal was to do it at zero cost to the kids, right? So mm-hmm. I didn't want a kid to have that barrier of, you know, even if it's $10, you know, every time you shoot, some kids just don't have that $10. And so it's either food or $10 to go shoot. Well, the parents aren't going to let them go shoot if that's the case.
Right.
And so we wanted to eliminate all that. And so what's happened in the state of Nevada is all the 4-H programs are run by the Cooperative Extension. And so the University of Reno doesn't want anything to do with NRA. And so a big source of our funding was Friends of NRA, because they do their banquets. They would give us the $8,000 in equipment and stuff I needed every year. So that left a gap. And that was originally why we started the Win Youth Sportsman program, was just to be able to give, you know, the equipment that they needed. But when Woods and Water steps up and gives $500 or $1,000 or whatever it is, that goes a long ways to those clubs being able to do it and let those kids shoot without having to come out of the bank, even if they're not going to state or nationals. But mm-hmm. I will tell you, in Southern Nevada, the kids we have shooting, they're qualifying for state every year, and most of our kids are qualifying for nationals as well. So once you get to that age bracket, we got a lot of kids that are qualifying to go to nationals, and they're very good shooters. I mean, I watched two kids that are 15 years old each, and they went 50 for 50 twice on the skeet range.
Wow.
And then they went to a sudden death playoff, and I think they went 6 rounds before one of them was out. And what made it such a great feat is the wind was gusting, and it was gusting up to 35 miles an hour. I was watching Clay's go forward, and then they would stop and go backwards and then go back forwards again. And these kids were still, you know, 50 for 50. So we got some great talent in the state. And so anything clubs like Woods and Waters can do to help that out is always appreciated for those clubs. And those clubs do, man. That's what they survive on.
Well,
so.
Those each one of those NAF programs, just to get it set up where they, you know, get 10 bows and 10 targets and sets of arrows and all the safety equipment, runs about $4,000 to $5,000. And so any school that wants to start that program, A, they need to have a teacher step up and want to be the coach, and then they need to come up with that $5,000. And so we like to help offset those costs too, so they can get started. And then once they get started, then it generally takes off. I mean, every school that it's been implemented in the state of Nevada has just gone crazy. Little tiny schools and up in the northern part of the state are doing just as well as the schools here in Clark County. It's a fantastic program. But another program that we've also donated money to that doesn't really fall into our youth program is there's an Annie Oakley program that the Coalition of Nevada Firearms Coalition has kind of been instigating, and it's getting women involved in shooting. And so they shoot a 22. I think it's once a week. I don't know exactly.
Yep. Every Tuesday night up at Clark County shooting
Conflict. Thursday night, I think it is. Whatever.
That's why Jeff can't be
one night a week.
He takes care of it.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's Thursday, yeah.
Okay. But we bought the ammo for them. I mean, you know, 1 year. So, again, all everything has a cost, and then everything just keeps going up and up and up. So to help break that barrier so a woman or anybody can get involved in the sports and things that we enjoy, we try to soften that blow and take some of the heat off. We'll buy the ammo. Somebody else will donate the gun, let those women get exposed to shooting and able to shoot in a little –
I love that.
In an area that's just all women, so they don't feel intimidated by shooting up against a man or.
Well, that's what I like about it, right? So the women can go in, they don't have to, they can let their guard down and they can just learn to shoot. And that program, in order for you to shoot the first time, you have to go through their class and their
safety
training
program.
And you have to go through the whole thing. And then once you've done that, then you kind of can go and still have the opportunity to shoot for free and learn and increase your skills. But the leashes aren't so tight, right? Once you've proven yourself. And so it gets women excited about hunting and excited about firearms in general. And so we have to grow as an industry. We have to grow. And so we only have so many people in the male population. And we only have so many adult males. If you want that sport to grow anymore, you've got to go places where you have the ability to grow. And our number one and number two areas are females and our youth. And then our minority shooters. I mean, there's been a big push on the minority shooters, and you're seeing a lot more minority shooters out in the field as well. And so every opportunity we have to bring a new group and get them excited about what we do, it's great. And what I like about Woods and Waters is they are very proactive about trying to bring people in. They started the women's program for our shoots, right? And a youth program for our shoots. And specifically to try to get more people involved in that demographic. And we've got some females in our club. I mean, we've got, you know, Elkie comes every once in a while, and you have females that enjoy being around it and they enjoy learning, and they're a little bit different breeds. Some females aren't comfortable with it. So if we can get them out to an event to where it's a little stress, we're all having fun, having a good time, they're more likely to come back. And they're not going to come back if you have, you know, Joe Blow in the corner, I'm the best shooter ever was.
Well, and
you
they might listen
doing.
To
you're
somebody else rather than their husband.
My kids,
a little bit better.
My kids are going to listen to anybody else in the room besides me. It doesn't matter what it is, because I'm dad. They don't listen to dad because dad doesn't know what he's talking about.
Just that.
Dad and husband. You
yeah,
know, they're
exactly.
Not gonna...
exactly. And so it gives it the opportunity for them to kind of see it from a different point of view and learn a little bit different. And that's the other thing is we don't all learn the same.
Right.
Brian's style of shooting might not match mine. We make fun of our friend Rydell at SHOT Show, and everybody's making fun of him because of his grip, right? And so he was, you know, he's a very good shooter, but he had Navy SEALs. He goes, "Did you fix your grip yet?" And so not everybody's comfortable shooting the same way. And so we have so many guys that there's just about every shooting style you can imagine on earth that they're shooting. And so Brian's way may not work. But my way may be a little bit more comfortable for you, and it's everything. It's from size to hand size. I mean, what gun do you shoot? That's the worst question anybody ever asked. Well, what gun should I buy? Well, what gun you can shoot? Whatever gun you're comfortable with is that was what you should buy.
That's like asking me what shoe size should I wear.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but we have the opportunity to where people are up and they're willing to take the time. I mean, we're talking about what's his name from Famagetti, and then there was a story about Famagetti teaching him fly fish or something like that, and in camp after the tournament, and he got to catch his first fish on that method the next day.
Yep.
And that was a guy that gave back to so many people, but people in that club just, hey, let's teach you how to do it. And so they taught him how to do it after the tournament was over, of course, because nobody wants to lose. but that's the cool thing about it is we got so much opportunity to learn and pass on knowledge and gain knowledge from everybody around us out there.
Well, I like the opportunities that you said, like once a kid picks up a bow and starts shooting, they're hooked. You know, and they may have never had that opportunity. And I couldn't imagine my life without hunting or fishing or just shooting archery or just being out with a group of guys like Woods and Water. You know, there's a sense of excitement, enjoyment, and peace all mixed into this like this beautiful cocktail.
Right.
You know, and you get the whole package. And so kids that never experienced that and they pick up a bow for the first time and shoot, I bet it's magical. And no wonder we get sportsmen that could just youth that could that are phenomenal in Nevada, because how many generations have they not picked up a bow? And then that might be the first kid in generations that picks up a bow and shoots. And that's because of Woods and Water and you guys, you know. And then also you're exposing other people to the whole cocktail that is hunting and the love and the passion for it. And you're not driving people out of that sport. And that's a special thing to do for people, you know. Like one of my favorite things is to watch a guy, you know, take his first fish or shoot his first duck. And, you know, there's nothing like that. You can't experience that.
And the opportunity, you know, you see the guy shoot his first duck, and we may have done that as kids. And, okay, you move to the city, you move to another state, you move to a different area, and you didn't have that opportunity. Then to find out and learn about Woods and Water, the different groups that are here in the Las Vegas area, well, you mean I can reconnect with that cocktail, as you mentioned it, which is the fun, the camaraderie, the harassment on, you know, your fellow shooter. And enjoy the out-of-doors and do some nice conservation projects, giving back to the younger people, giving back to the wildlife, giving back to the environment. There's the opportunity there.
Yeah. How do you guys make all the money for this? Is it all rich people in your club? Or
I've been getting by on my good looks for most of my life.
Me and you both.
That's why the Pinto's parked out front, huh?
Yeah. Save your watch. It's getting deep in here. Oh, I wish I had my hip boots on. Now, the good question, how do you pay for all of it? It's the banquet. That's the big fundraiser for the year. And coming up on the 30th of this month, Woods and Waters, I would say, has their annual banquet. We've missed the last 2 years because of COVID and had the opportunity to go to the Wynn banquet just a few weeks ago. Very successful. And congratulations to you guys for, what was it, 400 people? 400 plus?
400 plus, yeah.
400 plus, yeah. We were 430, I think, in the room.
It was a rager. It was good.
No, that was great.
What was the guy you said threw good parties back in the
Louisiana? Oh, Dan Perry.
It was a Dan Perry party.
Okay, we're targeting about 300 people for the 30th of this month, Saturday night, over at the Gold Coast Casino. And we've had it there the last number of years. And should be a great event. It's $75 to go to the event. Give you your advance reservations at the door. It's going to be $100. There's going to be live auction, silent auction, raffles, and just a good time for everybody.
A lot of guns.
Well, a lot of guns.
And I will tell you, this is probably the cheapest raffle event you're going to go to in the state of Nevada. I mean, tickets for this are
$2 a raffle. $2
a pop. So, you know, you're not going to find that at any other banquet. And, you know, you got a lot of good guys around there that are going to be there. And, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be a good time.
There will be good stories told. That we can guarantee.
None of them are true, but there'll be good stories told.
It has a nice dinner, too. Like,
nice dinner, steak, filet, and chicken.
Steak and chicken is nice.
It's a nice dinner, like I said, for $75. Costs have been going up for us, and so we've had to pass those down. But
I got a sticker that says, I did this. It has a nice gentleman's face on it. Maybe I'll put it at the price on the menu.
There you go. But we've tried to keep the costs low. We've always done it. You know, for years and years, our ticket prices or raffle ticket prices were only a dollar. Just recently, after 28 or 29 years, we bumped it to $2.
I can't believe you guys are screwing me out of a dollar.
I know. But like I said, there's going to be 27 guns in the room that are going to be given away. And for a $2 raffle ticket option, pretty good odds, you know, buy yourself $100 worth of tickets. You got 50 tickets to move around the room. We've also got...
Oh, Mike says free Budweiser beer. So that's right. I'm there for sure at that point.
Oh,
so.
Is there a happy hour?
Until the beer runs out. We've got we've got a great sponsor.
Happy 10 minutes at the Woods and Water.
that donates the Budweiser beer until it runs out. I can't remember how many cases that they donate to us. They have for the last 6 or 8 years. So that's a good deal. Get you started.
But doors open at 5 o'clock. So
doors are open at 5 o'clock. We've got a turkey pluck event. We've got a mystery gun. We've got 50-50 raffles for 500 cash and 1,000 cash. We've got it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a good time to meet around. And like Mike just says, free beer.
10 cases of beer.
10 cases of beer. That's only 360 beers. And I'm going to get into probably 10% of that.
300 of them gone before the doors open.
And as we talk about that, there's also things for the youth. I know first banquet I was at 2 years ago, they bring a lot of the youth up on the stage. They had Daisy, Red Rider, BB guns, some that maybe we had, you know, first started with. But fishing poles, different things for the kids. And so really, it's a family type of event. So that, you know, the kids have got something. The adults have got something. You've got the Sportsman of the Year. That's really, you know, it's a fundraiser. But it's to recognize the Sportsman of the Year. You know, that person that has been very active in the club, very active in their community. And really that all-around attitude, like we've been talking about tonight, is what are you giving back? What are you doing to help other people? And we want to recognize that member.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of great members, so it's hard to choose. It's hard to choose that group. I do not envy the guys that are on that committee that are choosing our Sportsman of the Year because, man, it's gone to some really good people, but there's every year you get four or five guys up on there.
And I sat on that committee this year, and I saw the nominees, and I think it's one of the tightest up in the air picks that I've seen in a long time in terms of who will win it. I don't know, but
you just do have really good guys in that club that do a lot for the community. You got the Mike Reeses that are out in front of the state legislature testifying. You got you serving on the board. We've got the president of the Nevada Firearms Coalition. You know, you've got everybody. You've got, you know, business owners that are giving back.
Bighorn
fraternity people. You've got so many people doing so much in that club. It really is hard to narrow it down to one person that has really gone above and beyond because the club as a whole, it's full of people that go above and beyond. That's what they do.
Right.
So, you know, it has to be a monumental task. So
not only that is this banquet. Well, first off, if you want kitchen credits, bring your wife. It's a nice time for the wife.
Ron and I's wives are sitting at home, I think.
We have burnt them out on everything banquet-wise. But my wife enjoys banquets. I mean, it's a good meal. It's good company. The raffles are fun. It's exciting. The live auction's fun. Mike Reese said me and Brian are going to be barkers. Did you know that, Brian? Surprise. Anyways,
because
we scream loud during those auctions. But it's a riot. The whole thing's fun. So, you know, bring someone you like, girlfriend, wife, kids.
And we've got women's gifts, too. Yeah. Some gifts that are
Ron's going to put in for all those. So
yeah.
They go with his Crocs.
And then at the end of the day, you're giving back to a nonprofit. So it is tax deductible. And then everything's said and done. You know, it goes to fund the club, so you go out and have fun with the club, and then the club gives back to tons of good groups. I mean, you win all around. This is a win-win situation if you show up.
Exactly. And it's affordable. I mean, some of the guys like to classify this as the Walmart of banquets in terms of cost for admission. And again, it kind of ties back to a lot of things we've been talking about tonight in terms of cost of entry, barriers, keeping things low. So everything's not priced out of your range that you just can't compete and you can't participate. And so we try to make it affordable, try to have quality prizes to win, yet still at a low price to get in and get a chance. I mean, there's guys that'll buy $500 worth of tickets and there's some guys that'll buy $5 worth of tickets. But when you put your ticket in that bucket, you got the same amount, you know, same chance to win
It's probably not $5 worth of tickets. It'd be $10 worth of tickets. five tickets times two.
I know. Well, math. I'm not good at math. Is hard.
I'll take half. You keep half. We'll and we'll paper rock scissors for whoever wins.
$1,000 for the women's gifts. Mike's saying, and that's the thing is, I heard through the grapevine today that there'll be a Yeti there. We'll have New Frontier Armory stepped up, and they've done some 30th anniversary guns for us, custom made guns. And our friends at New Frontier Armory, man, those guys step up every single time for these banquets.
Absolutely.
That is, if you want to know where to go spend your money in the firearms industry in the city of Las Vegas, New Frontier. They give so much back to our communities as sportsmen and in the conservation world. That's the only place I go anymore, just because, you know, we've had years where we'll say, hey, we want to buy a gun. They're like, well, we'll give you a gun. Or, hey, we have this idea and this is what we want to do. And they're like, well, we'll do the engraving for you for free. Don't worry about it.
We'll match this or we'll match that.
Their guns, I mean, the prices that they give us guns for, you know, you're not going to find that anywhere else.
And they'll find them for you.
And I will tell you, if you think, oh, well, they're just a local gun shop making their own guns and they're not used anywhere else. These guys are making guns for the military. In fact, I just saw a thing the other day about an officer-involved shooting in Pahrump, and every officer there was – the weapon that they used was a New Frontier Armory AR-15. So, you know, these guys are making guns for the military, the police. They're excellent guns, and so for them to give us the breaks and stuff we do to be able to do our banquets is great. And they sit there all night and do the FFL stuff for the next day.
And their founding owner, Dave Famigetti, was a past president of Las Vegas Woods and Waters. Legend, military guy, great guy. We lost him a couple years ago to cancer. But, I mean, his wife has stepped up running the business and still supporting the community, and they do a great job for all of us. So.
And you're talking about the firearms and the things that they do, which is greatly appreciated. Somebody was asking me the other day, they said, I've got kind of an antique gun. I think I want to have it restored. I don't know anybody I can trust. Where should I go? It was a real simple answer. Go to New Frontier. They will be more than happy to tell you what you could and couldn't do, should, shouldn't do, and recommend where to take it.
Yeah.
So when you're looking for that knowledgeable person, you know, and it was actually a female, and she said, I don't know if somebody's going to take advantage of me because I'm a woman. I don't know anything about a gun shop. I said, here's the place to go. Here's who you need to ask for. They will take perfect care of you.
Yeah, they are. They're support those who support wildlife and sportsmen, and they're number one in the valley in my book.
Well, except for Nick. He's a troublemaker. He doesn't do anything anymore. Yeah. He gets a promotion. Now he just sits in the office all day and does nothing, sits on his hands.
Yeah, you could say that. Cause anyways. No, Nick's the best.
Yeah, Nick's awesome.
Hey, Juan, a funny story about Nick. I guess he went on an airboat tour, and at New Frontier, they're all vets, right? Uh-huh. So they all have different injuries, and Nick's missing an arm. And he went on an airboat tour, I guess, and he was telling me and Brian this story, and they said, you know what, just keep your hands inside the airboat, because crocodiles will get in. He goes, I didn't listen last time.
Well, and he lifted up his arm. That's Nick. I was sitting at SHOT Show, waiting for the retail dealer, and New Frontier is probably going to start carrying retails hopefully here pretty soon, and Nick was, we're waiting for the guy to talk to, and there's a tourniquet booth right behind us. And Nick turns around and looks at the guy, looks at his arm, and goes, it didn't work.
So, anyways, well, we're getting close here. Boyd Montgomery's over here on here, too. Hi, Boyd. And then we've got Mike Reese saying that they also have women at New Frontiers. Not all Nick. You know, there's other people down there. So good woman staff down there, too, if you need anything from
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, their heads, actually. Last point, then I'll shut up a little bit. Or I won't. I don't know. But you said women in firearms is a very good thing. And that being said, women usually do it better and run the clubs better. And behind New Frontier, everybody behind the front counter, like up front, there's a few, like a couple women, but everybody running their shop is all female
based. Yep.
So, yeah, anyways, women, that's why it's good to get them to sportsmen and wildlife and firearms, is because they typically are better and know how to do it better. So, yep.
They tend to be better shooters. All right. Well, I guess that's about it for this time. If you have time, April 30th, make time for the Woods and Waters banquet. Yep. $75 will get you in the door if you buy it early.
5 p.m.
Doors open. They hopefully, we're going to be done and out of there, hopefully 9:30, 10 o'clock, somewhere around there. $100 at the door. buy your tickets early.
If you need any info, just PM me and Brian on Battleborn Duckers. We'll get you hooked
up. We can get you the contacts.
And also, don't forget, this weekend, our spring feast.
Oh, yeah.
Our Cajun Crawdad sporting clay shoot. So out at the Clark County Shooting Park this Saturday, 9 o'clock is sign-ups, 9:30 we'll start shooting, and we'll probably have lunch about 11:30, 12 right after the shooting's done. This year, again, to keep costs down and do something a little different, normally we've always shot 100 rounds. This year we're only shooting 76 rounds, but for the cost of $45, that gets you your cart to go around the course, all your clays, and lunch. Well, lunch is free. So bring your neighbor, bring a friend. Anybody can show up.
Just bring ammo.
They said they have 12-gauge ammo up there. They'll sell you two boxes.
You need three boxes to shoot.
And you need three boxes to shoot and a couple extra.
I called Walmart the other night, if anybody. Walmart. They have some.
Oh, they don't have it anymore now that you said something.
Yeah.
See? Transu said it'll let me beat him. So there we go. I'm going to hold you that, Transu.
You better get off the air. Transu's going to start talking smack. Everybody's going to see you, Brian.
It's been great having you guys on. And I know we got Panguitch coming up too, so that's a great fishing tournament.
May 21st,
yeah. So May 21st, we'll be up there. Join Las Vegas Woods and Water. I mean, it's a great group of guys. It's $25, $20 every week, every month to eat at their luncheon. Great group of guys. And, you know, like we say, if you're going to go out this weekend, try to take somebody with you. If you're going to take somebody with you, why don't you teach them something? If you can't take somebody or teach somebody, make sure you hunt hard.